What are we going to do as a church? Our souls need to wake up. We need to respond to the gospel of Jesus. He said, go into the world.
We don't want to deal with reality, Christian. We don't even want to deal with reality, even though we've been saved from this place.
I'm calling on you today in the name of Jesus to rise up to the call of God. Christ is coming back soon.
If I start telling people about hell, I might just scare them off. Where are you going to scare them off to? Hell number two? People, stop and think about it. If hell really exists, and it does, I didn't say that Jesus did, then don't you think people need to know about it? Can't you at least give them a fighting chance? Or are you just going to sit there and let them burn?
This is Chris from Don't Let Them Burn. You can reach us on don'tletthemburn.com, Facebook, Twitter, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and of course YouTube. Like, subscribe, and share. That'll be kind of you. If you want to support our efforts, you can reach us on Patreon, Fundly, Teespring.com to get a t-shirt or a mug. And of course, if you can't support us financially, don't forget to share. Share so that other people can get the message. If you like this video, please share. So tonight we have a special guest. His name is Kevin Shrum. And we've talked over the phone a few times, and we've been trying to set up this interview for, you know, probably about 6 months, and we're finally here. And, you know, we're going to get into the topics of comic books and comic book movies, and this is going to be a very interesting conversation. So in the meantime, hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Doing good, Chris. Thank you for having me, and what a timely subject tonight. I was looking at the schedule of Marvel movies coming out today, and I see we got four coming out in 2018. I saw the Venom trailer was released today.
So oh, I missed that.
I think we're over the target tonight.
Oh yeah, definitely. I missed the Venom trailer. I should have watched that. I saw Deadpool trailer came out, and of course it was pretty vulgar as usual, and sort of homosexual. But anyway,
we got Deadpool too.
Yeah, it came out. I think yesterday it came out, or the day
well,
before.
That's five, then. We got five. I wouldn't count that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a little too vulgar for me.
yeah, definitely. I won't even say what happened in the trailer right now, but yeah, so this topic of comic books, it's very timely, and it looks like one of those things that isn't going to go away anytime soon. It's basically a part of popular culture. Just like zombies, a lot of people don't understand the intricacies of comic books. And so that's why, you know, I think this conversation is going to go many different directions. But what would you like to start off first?
I'll introduce myself. My name's Kevin Shrum. I'm from Tennessee. I'm a computer programmer. I work in the insurance industry. I've been a Bible teacher for around 15 years now, and my main interest in teaching his own biblical prophecy. And then also I've collected comic books on and off for some 40 years now. So I think we can bring a unique perspective to this conversation.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So last year we had Thor, we had Doctor Strange, we had the Justice League. And I guess we can go over a little bit of those and then go into some other areas.
And what you mentioned about their popularity, it's where we're coming to from society. We're coming to a sort of, I guess you could say, crux point where spirituality is meeting science. And mm-hmm. I think that's what's driving a lot of the popularity of the comics, because it's been that way for years. I wrote this down. I said, harp technology, weather modification, super soldiers, ancient astronauts, you can go on, transhumanism. That's all been in comics for years, which now it just seems to be coming more and more driven into the mainstream consciousness now.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also bleeding over into sci-fi novels and things of that nature. You know, when you start finding out these things, at least some of these concepts are ingrained in reality, especially nowadays, you start to realize, man, we've been getting trained for this for years, decades, and it starts to wake you up a little bit. So wait a minute, why is this now happening in our lifetime? Are we being led somewhere?
Yes, I think so. We're being programmed, if you don't mind me saying so.
No, that's fine.
I believe
so too. And you know, speaking of programming, you know, a lot of these movies, including the books too, of course, they always have a message. There's always a message, whether it's good or bad, a moral to the story. And, you know, as children coming up reading these books, we got the training, but we didn't move towards that per se. Like other people, they said that when they read a comic book, like one person said that because they were homosexual, that when they read comic books with homosexuals in it, it kind of gave them affirmation about their stance.
Exactly. I mean, I think what the generation, what we're seeing coming up now, is where our country is slowly getting away from its spiritual foundation, its anchor, where, you know, I read comics as a kid. I just saw them purely as fantasy. You know, my mom took me to church every Sunday. You know, I was there whether I wanted to go or not. And I had that foundation in me where, as we see the generation coming up, we sort of definitely see a lack of that. And we can see where these comics can be a greater influence.
Definitely. Back in the, I think it's called a Silver Age or a Golden Age of comic books, where the comic books were getting banned. And not just from Christians. There were all sorts of themes coming out in the public to kids, of course, that were macabre and occultic, and, you know, from vampires and werewolves to murders and all sorts of grotesque acts that, you know, they had to put a stamp on it later on after the banning of the comic books.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I believe that our generation and probably a little bit of generation before, we're not primed to accept these things, and that's why they won't go away.
Exactly. You're exactly right again.
Yeah. I guess we could talk about, let's talk about Thor. Let's talk about that movie and some of the things that you noticed in there. And we're talking about Thor,
well,
Ragnarok.
I mean, of course, I mean, just the character Thor. I mean, based on Norse mythology, with the characters, of course, Odin, Thor, Loki, and all the others, you know, in Asgard there. Of course, that's where, I guess, Kirby and Stan Lee, I guess that was some pretty easy writing. They just took the Norse gods and made comic characters, you know, made comic characters out of them. But Ragnarok, just the name. I mean, the movie seemed to be a strange mix of Thor comics, Planet Hulk, and there was a series in the early 80s called The Contest of Champions. That's where the Grandmaster came in. He sort of collected Marvel heroes, and he actually, in that series, he was having sort of a, he used the heroes in sort of a chess match against Death, and that's sort of where the Hulk against Thor came with the Grandmaster. But that, the name Ragnarok, of course, that encompasses the Norse concept of an Armageddon there, where Asgard would be overthrown, and actually, and this is what didn't happen in the movie, Thor and Odin would actually be, and all the gods would be killed. And there would be great floods to destroy the worlds. And then guess what? Of course, as in a lot of the Eastern religions, we'll have a renewal where we'll start over with, in the Norse mythology, it was an Adam and Eve type renewal there with, yeah, with the earth. So that's the whole thing with the Ragnarok. And I don't know if what you may have seen in that as well.
Well, there were a couple different, you know, things. Like when Thor was in the chair, that he went through this tunnel, and it was like MK Ultra. Like they were trying to program him in a certain way, although they were teaching him about what he was about to get into, it would just remind me of some sort of MK Ultra programming. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yes, of course, the psychedelic. Oh, they sort of desensitize you to that with playing the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory music there.
Yeah.
But yes, you're exactly right on that. That it's a programming, and I guess with, and once again, with what I've read about MK Ultra and the programming, they use things like that. Of course, you always hear about the Wizard of Oz and the sayings that they would use those as triggers for maybe a shooter or something. So yeah, using that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movie goes right along with that theme.
Yeah, exactly.
Things that are familiar to us. I remember, you know, probably kids today, I mentioned Wizard of Oz to them, and they don't, I've got two teenage daughters, they don't think much of that. I can give the little witch saying, I'll get you and your little dog too. They don't think of that. Where, you know, I grew up, we watched, that came on maybe twice a year. We were sitting there in front of the TV watching that.
Yeah.
Every time it came on.
Yeah, I remember those days. And now we have a flood of everything. You have a, you know, like 200, 300 shows a night you could pick from. So, yeah.
I think most of the kids today, I mean, they're on Netflix. I mean, they don't watch TV today. They're watching Netflix.
Yeah, everything's transitioning to streaming entertainment. Interesting. So the movie Thor Ragnarok now, one thing that I noticed is this playing around with words and cues to sort of like a homosexual theme. And I don't know if this was in the comic books or not, but this devil's anus thing. And when everybody's mentioning the devil's anus, they're getting excited about it. And the way they were playing with it, I think it was two different scenes. It really just struck me as that's what they're trying to pull off there. And the way they had the Hulk's behind showing in one scene was also blatant to me, too.
Yeah, Marvel's training. I mean, look at the Guardians of the Galaxy, too. I guess we'll talk about that in a moment. This the sexual innuendo is just, it seems just to be increasing more and more in the Marvel movies as they keep coming out.
Well, Disney's behind it, and I know many of you are fans of Disney out there. I'm not necessarily a big fan. I know too much about Disney to be a fan of it, but, you know, I'll go to the park or whatever. But when you start to do your digging on Disney and the motif behind the whole company and who Disney was and what he was involved in, you start to see a different picture to these characters.
Exactly. It's a subliminal aspect, but it's just coming more out, more and more in your face.
Yeah, and there were some strides. Well, this is now prevalent in movies too. There was a stride of basically a sub underlining of feminism too. The woman, I can't remember her name right now, but she was the Valkyrie. You know, this hardened woman. And it's from the comic books. There were tough warriors. And there have been warriors in the past that have been women. Yeah, I'm not saying that's not real. But you could see the message, I believe.
Yes, the Valkyrie. She was actually a character, but there was in the comics. But there was, of course, a whole, I guess you could call it, tribe of those sort of similar to the Amazons and Wonder Woman. So I guess she's sort of Marvel's version of Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I mean,
but of course, as you mentioned, the blatant feminism in that is, you know, men are portrayed as doofuses and weak now, spineless, and women are, and not to say there aren't strong women and weak men, but as a whole, the society is seeming to push men down and lift the woman up as a symbol of strength.
Yeah, and that's seen in a lot of our TV commercials nowadays. I don't even have cable. I haven't had cable in a while, but when I do see some of these commercials, they're really belittling the men and lifting up the woman.
Exactly. I mean, the man is just seen as, you know, some doofus that, you know, I don't know why we keep him around. He can't, you know, he's of no use.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just goes to Satan's plan to destroy the family.
Correct. And it's being pushed on these young people that sometimes don't know better. Sometimes they do, and they see it and they point it out. And when they get a real definition of where feminism came from and what it really is, then they really start to wake up.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not against women. My mom was a woman. My wife's a woman. I love women, but
yeah,
God had an order.
Right.
And Satan has always been against that from the Garden of Eden and tried to destroy it. And he's still at it today.
Exactly. Yeah, so this movie, we have Hela. You want to give a little breakdown of Hela, who she is?
Of course, she was seen as, she's a Loki and Thor's sister who comes on the scene and comes over to take over Asgard and become the ruler, dispossessing Odin. Goes right along once again with the theme as the female taking over.
Mm-hmm. Basically, it was just a ruthless character. She's a villain, you know, what more can we say?
Of course, she was the goddess of death,
yeah.
Hela.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I'm trying to think of other stuff that that could have been in this movie that I'm missing right now. Because I watched it like 2 weeks ago again. And I'm thinking more of the symbolism. Jack Kirby, you know? The stuff that he
yeah, that's where we need to go. Jack Kirby, he was, of course, one of the creators and the first illustrators of Thor. And as he brought, he was always trying to bring the demigods to life down to Earth. And saw an interview with him talking about Galactus. Of course, he was the god villain in the Fantastic Four series.
Yeah.
And that's what he meant. They were asking where he got his inspiration for Galactus. And he said God. And then, of course, Galactus had to hurl the Silver Surfer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this in an interview. He said the Silver Surfer was the fallen angel. So the Silver Surfer was an exemplification or an embodiment, if you will, of Lucifer. He, of course, was banned. Now, he was banned from the heavens. He was banned from his planet. And he roamed the earth, just like Satan, of course, says in the book. Peter talks about him going about his roaring lions, going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. That was the Silver Surfer. He was cursed to dwell in. He couldn't get out of the Earth's atmosphere. He just had to go back and forth on his surfboard.
Right. Wow.
In the skies.
That's intriguing. I never knew that about Silver Surfer. And now that you said that, and how he was given the power that he was given over the elements. Was incredible.
Prince of the power of the air.
Yeah. That's an interesting link. And now that I know that, got to keep that in my back pocket. I was a big fan of Silver Surfer right underneath X-Men. I would pick up Silver Surfer.
What kid wasn't? I mean, who wouldn't want to get up on the surfboard and fly through the stars like that, through the atmosphere? And
yeah.
Like I said, he had great power. He could defeat the Hulk.
Yeah, that's one of the most intriguing comics I would ever read. And when you go into... you know, the Infinity Stones and all that. He was a very important component to that story.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I can't remember.
I still remember, I had the copy Hulk 250 when I was a kid, and the Silver Surfer comes down, and Bruce Banner is going to help him exactly escape the Earth so he could go back to his home world. And, of course, they're there in this old abandoned, I guess it's an old abandoned missile. It's an old abandoned government base there. And as, of course, Banner is trying to help him escape, the Silver Surfer, or the townspeople actually come and destroy the machinery. And the Silver Surfer goes in a rage, and this triggers Banner becoming the Hulk. And they do battle. And, of course, he can draw the gamma radiation out of the Hulk and actually defeat him.
Interesting stuff here, because you know Hulk is, his personality is like, I think they drew his personality from Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. When you go back into the lore of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and the person that created him, you find out Dr. Jekyll's really possessed.
And when you get later on in the Hulk series, that plays out more into the plots. I mean, you actually have the Hulk going into hell to battle Satan.
Well, I never read that one, but I mean, there's so many, right? I read a Hulk comic book one time where he's basically, you know, invincible, immortal. They had even these giant cockroaches that would eat him, but he would just regrow his skin. And the more angry that he gets, the more powerful he is.
And another point about that is he fed on rage, and it came from being mistreated by his parents, dad.
Yeah.
So, once again, you have that sort of split personality, MK Ultra, coming in there again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just amazing what people put in these books, because they don't put this stuff in just because they had a great idea. They do research. They draw from whatever inspiration, whether it be pagan or not, you know?
Exactly. And going back to Jack Kirby now, as you mentioned, his inspiration, he was inspired by the ancient astronaut theory and the Gnostic theory. And the ancient astronaut theory is played out in many of his series. Of course, he left Marvel for a while, went to DC, and he actually had some series called The New Gods there at DC, and then he came back to Marvel.
Mm.
And one of his, I guess, a very short series he did, and it was supposed to, I guess, been a spinoff, been made into a Saturday morning cartoon show is what it resembled. It was called Devil Dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have it going back into prehistoric times, and you had these sort of, and once again, we have evolution playing in here. You have these sort of ape people here that are living with the dinosaurs, but you have this robot from space, if you will, and they're coming here to examine these primitive people. And one is called Moon Boy. And they capture Moon Boy. And Moon Boy had, they had become, they could communicate with dinosaurs. And the dinosaurs sort of would help him out. Mm-hmm. And these people. The spaceship of these robots was destroyed. But the prime computer actually was trying to take over this planet. It survived this destruction. Like I said, I'm just making all this brief, trying to sum up the series. But they called it the Devil Tree then. Now, and this is where we get into Gnosticism. Mm-hmm. This Devil Tree, now get it here, it's a tree in a garden. It encased these primitive people in a shield. And they couldn't escape this garden. A Devil Tree. Now, you see where I'm going, Genesis 2.
Yeah.
And guess what? This reptile, the devil dinosaur, a red dinosaur, helped them escape.
Wow.
So that goes all back to Gnosticism and the fact that the Gnostic belief on Genesis 3 was actually that Christ was the serpent and he freed Adam and Eve from God by giving them a free will. The evil dictator God, if you will.
Yeah.
And that's quote unquote. Yeah. But that's the Gnostic belief, and that was woven right into that series called Devil Dinosaur. And it's, I had that as a youngster, of course. I just saw a dinosaur and these eight people, and never thought much about it. But there it was in my face the whole time.
Yeah, you know what, if you can, because I know a lot of people don't even know what Gnosticism is, and it's been of lately where we start hearing that these themes are going through the movies and the comic books and stuff. Can you give a slight breakdown of what Gnosticism is?
Gnosticism, Gnostic, of course, or Gnosis, it comes, that's where we get our word knowledge, having knowledge. And it's a modern name for a religious system, if you will. And of course, they try to relate it to Christianity, but it's where they actually, it actually goes, I guess you could say, to me, it's more pantheistic in the fact that they believe that this material world was created by a higher God, and that spark is trapped within our body, and this spark can be released by us obtaining this knowledge or gnosis.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can gather enough knowledge, which that's how they tie this back with the tree in the garden of the knowledge of good and evil, if we can gather the knowledge, we can be a God. And that goes back to all the false religions, all the cults.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 3, where Satan told him that God was lying to him, that he says he knows the day and the day you eat of, that you will be you will be a God.
Yeah.
And that's where evolution takes man, and that's where Gnosticism takes man, that's where all the cults and the false religions try to elevate man to be a God.
Yeah, and this goes back into Transformers, where you have the AllSpark, and Optimus Prime carries that, the matrix of leadership, which is divinely sparked, and this spark gave life to all of the Transformers, and in the first Transformers movie, you'll see that this cube, the AllSpark, is like a god. It created life, and it was there before time.
Exactly. I heard you and Roy mention that on the show with Sheila Zelinsky.
Zelinsky.
Yeah.
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 Keep going. Let's talk about Kirby some more. Some fascinating information.
So, as I mentioned, Kirby, he wove this. You can see this woven into all his characters. As I mentioned, the ancient astronauts, the Gnosticism beliefs, with Galactus, the Silver Surfer, the Devil Dinosaurs. He had a series called The Eternals. Once again, they were gods, and he seemed to have a particular fascination with the cosmic evolution, if you would, and what you say, panspermia,
yeah,
where we were actually seeded here by a higher race, and but that's where we would eventually evolve to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with their help.
Yeah, and you know that goes back to even Grandmaster, because he's one of the Sentinels. And the Sentinels are supposed to be these godlike beings, even though there are higher gods than them. And they supposedly seeded the planet, our planet and others. And this could be found in Earth X, Paradise X, and there's another couple in that series that gives you the whole timeline.
Yes, that's Jack Kirby for you.
Yeah, the thing is that all of these themes go against the Word of God.
And they all weave together. I mean, they're just a perfect, they perfectly weave together evolution, Gnosticism, the alien, seated by the aliens. They all are in line in perfect harmony. And as you mentioned, they all go against the Word of God.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're not here saying, oh, you can't pick up a comic book. But we're saying, be aware that what you're taking in has a message that goes against the God of this universe, the God that came from glory to die on the cross and give you salvation. It goes against everything that his heart, his word says.
Yes, and I mean, there have been some blatant attacks in comics. I have an actual Hulk comic. I was going to read this to you.
Mm-hmm.
That, and of course, this could we could dive off into Guardians with this one.
Yeah.
But it's an Incredible Hulk, issue 178. It's a 25-cent comic. And on the cover, we see the Hulk. He's, of course, on another planet. But no, on the cover, it actually has a character we were introduced to at the end of Guardians 2 called Adam Warlock.
Yeah.
And on this, he's being crucified on a cross on another planet.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have, of course, the opening page. I've got it right here in front of me. We have Bruce Banner. He's being hailed and watched as they crucify this Adam Warlock. Of course, he's this messianic creation of Marvel. And here, as you see this, and I've had two copies of it. I threw one away, but I kept one just for research purposes. But here he is on the cross, and notice what it says. He's looking up, and he's saying, "Hi, evolutionary, why have you abandoned me?"
Wow.
I'm just making just pure blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he dies, and then he comes back to life, and he saves this planet that the Hulk's been exiled to. So, and, of course, I read a little about this, and, of course, this was the time when Jesus Christ Superstar came out, and it was based roughly on that. But that was one of the most blatant attacks I've ever seen. On the Word of God of Jesus Christ in the comics.
Yeah, and you know, this whole dying and coming back theme, the Messiah complex, in a sense, you know, it's also found in some other comic books here, right?
Yes.
Spider-Man, there's a couple that he might have, you know, came really close to death or whatever, but I remember there's one where he resurrected it as sort of like with a black symbiont suit, right?
Yes.
Then you have Superman, which is, people will argue all day, is he Jesus, but he's really this figure of the Antichrist. And,
yes,
and I like Superman, but you know, that's reality. That's the reality of who he is. And then you have Optimus Prime, which in the 1980s, they came out with Transformers the movie, and he died. And he was resurrected in the TV show later. And he was known to be sort of like a messianic type figure. So, but then again, he has the spark, that spark of divinity. So it's going, like you said, connected right back to Gnosticism and all these other things. Go ahead.
Yes, according to all false religions, we all have it. And, you know, the message of the Bible, I wanted to say this earlier, but the message of the Bible is man is a complete failure apart from God. And that we are all in need of a savior.
Mm-hmm.
Where Gnosticism and other religions will tell you, no, you have it within you. You just have to ascend, and you can be your own savior.
Yeah, and you know what? I just found another figure that I watched the other day. It was Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Men Tell No Tales, right? Which came out last year, 2017, and the Captain Hector Barbosa. When he dies in the film, spoiler alert, he goes down with his hands in a cross symbol. The same symbolism, even though this isn't a superhero, but it's the same symbolism given to a character that sacrifices himself for his daughter.
Of course, and this all goes back to, of course, Mystery Babylon, and you know the ancient religion of Semiramis and Nimrod. Of course, that was Nimrod died and supposedly, you know, said her son Thomas was Nimrod reincarnated. So all this goes back to the earliest times of a false religion.
Yeah. Once you start researching some of the history behind some of these religions out there, you'll see the pure connection right back to Babylon. It's no mistake. Some people say that all roads lead to Egypt, but all roads lead to Babylon.
Yes, I couldn't agree more with you.
Yeah.
As it's called, Babylon's called the mother of harlots in the book of Revelation. That's true to everything, just tied back.
There you go. You know, so, Guardians, it was pretty, it was okay. You know, not better than the first one, but it was okay. But they had a lot of stuff in there. And you said you noticed something about the sex robots?
Yes. Mentioned, it's heavy on the sexual innuendo. But,
oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
When the first time I watched it, I was so captured with the fact that, you know, the opening scenes, we see Kurt Russell and his girlfriend there, and she says, "I fell in love with a spaceman."
Mm-hmm.
So my mind's automatically going to Genesis 6. And, of course,
yeah.
When Star-Lord is there with the Sentinels, she mentions he's a hybrid. So, you know, my mind is there, and, you know, I can't get it out of Genesis 6
right.
from the opening scenes of the movie.
Yeah.
But as we go on, just one, the first when they first show the planet Contraxia there, we're going into a scene, and we see people out catching snowflakes on their tongue, you know, with scantily clad women there. And I never caught this on the first time, but you see the blue man with the arrow.
Yondu
is there in the window. And I'm noticing that he's not got his shirt on, and he's sitting there with his, you know, buttoning up his pants. So that kind of caught my attention.
Yes.
I'm looking, and he's next to the woman. And I notice she goes up and pushes a button on her head, and she just goes limp. And I'm like, sex bots right there. I mean, it's so subtle. I missed it the first time, but yet it's blatant in your face as well.
Yeah.
Sort of an interstellar, I guess you would say, brothel, because if you'll notice, it had that neon sign with the woman with her legs up. And
And you know what, this theme right here, it's really interesting to me. I mean, I really got to go back and study some of these writers because, you know, back in the day, Buck Rogers in the 21st century, I think it's called, Buck Rogers had the sex bots too, even though it wasn't super blatant because it was a more wholesome time. Then you have Star Trek, right? And myriads of other sci-fi shows or, you know, movies. And now what we see in reality is sex bots come into the marketplace. People don't realize this. I mean, the average person doesn't realize it, but it's there. It's coming. And, you know, that's another conversation from when we get into AI. But go ahead.
And once again, this theme is just, it's running right through the show. It's the attack on the home. Once again, we said, you know, the man is being regulated to a position that is no longer needed. That's regulating to the woman, the position that there's no need for a man and a woman to be together anymore. Not saying that is her only duty to a man, but
right.
once again, we have that being shown there that a man doesn't need a woman. He can buy his own sex robot. Don't need a family. Doesn't need to procreate and have a family.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a mechanism of control, depopulation. In whatever
yes.
time this
and,
comes to fruition. Go ahead.
And quite possibly, I believe, demonic possession.
Yes. My friend from Through the Black, Jared Cressman, mentioned that the other day, and I agree that, you know, these things that they're making, these robots, these the AI and everything like that, you know, demons are interdimensional beings. They interact with our reality. What's to say they cannot go inside of a robot and say, "Hey, check this out."
Yeah, I'm gonna preach to you for a minute here, but
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go over here to the book of 1 Corinthians,
mm-hmm.
and the sexual aspect. I mean, today it's just treated as so casually.
Yeah,
but we're told over here that, or in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 15, it says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid." He says, "What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body?" And notice what he says, "For two saith he, shall be one flesh. And then he goes on to say, but he that is joined to the Lord, under the Lord, is one spirit. And then he says, flee fornication. Every man that a sin doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And he goes on to say, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own.
Yeah.
So he describes the act of coming together in a sexual way as being also having a spiritual aspect to it. And that's where I think the demonic possession will come in with these sex bots.
Yeah, and also the Bible describes fornication as an act of idolatry.
So exactly.
Worshiping yourself or something else or two, you know, both. Because, you know, the act of sex really is a mystery, you know.
It is.
And the way that we become soul tied and other applications psychologically and whatever, we really don't understand the whole thing. Because, you know, when you see these people that are committing suicide because their lover left them, that's some deep entanglement there.
That is. And the proverb writer, he talks about that. He talks about some things that were too wonderful for him to know.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them in that list was the way of a man with a maid.
Mm. Yeah. You know, and sex is what's driving most of our entertainment now. I'm talking about cable, in our books, commercials. It's everywhere because the nature of man, you know, Satan knows our appetite, and our appetite is for destruction. Not that sex is bad, but sex outside of marriage leads to destruction.
Right. I mean, it's like a fire. I mean, the fire is good if you have it in a contained area, such as marriage. But once it gets out, I mean, it can do all kinds of damage and destruction if it gets out of bounds.
Yeah, exactly. And how we were now, you know, back to Guardians again, right? Parents are bringing their children to see. I mean, children, 9, 8, 7, you know, and then you have the teenagers going, and they're getting inundated with this sexual innuendo. I remember in the first Guardians, they had a scene there where he was comparing the cockpit to someone's Peyton because of what the sexual acts that were performed in there before.
Yes. And yeah. Like you mentioned, it was all throughout this second movie as well.
Yeah.
We haven't even touched on the Genesis 6 aspect of this, and that comes into play as well.
Yeah.
Where, of course, you see when Ego there, Kurt Russell, takes them to his planet, or of course, he is the planet. They go into detail to describe the fact that him and Drax are there speaking about, you know, him actually having sex with Star-Lord's mother.
Yeah.
And he was talking about himself, you know. And that, you know, that's right out of Genesis 6, where people always question, well, how in the world can an angel, you know, mate with an earth woman? Well, it was explained for us right there in that scene.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's peculiar, too, that, you know, demons need a host, a body. And that's what Ego the Living Planet used to go around the universe to commit all sorts of sexual acts to get a son or an antichrist figure to be his sidekick in taking over the universe and reconstructing it into his own image.
Right. And what did he do to all the other children? He killed them.
Yeah, exactly.
What has Satan always done with all the children all down through history?
Yeah.
He killed them. He killed them in Moses' day, he killed them in Jesus' day, and he's killing them today inside the womb with abortion.
Yeah, and I didn't even make that connection in my review, but that's another deep thought, another deep connection that people need to, you know, when you read your Bible and you really get into some serious study, you'll see these connections in these movies because they take a lot out of the Bible to make some of these stories, you know, and especially, you know, it's all over the comic books. It's everywhere. You know, you could see the resemblance, but they take it and twist it to what they want it to be.
Yes, I heard one preacher one time say, he said, you can find every plot in basically almost every movie inside the Bible where they took it and ripped it off.
Yeah, and that also says a lot about the Word of God, too, because how come they always have to go back to that book? You know, why there's so many books around. Why do they have to go back to that book to take the most intricate plots that have ever been devised, you know? So anyway, the thing about Guardians, you know, the one thing that I pointed out in the review was the automatons that would use the vessels to destroy. They're not really there, right?
But the drones.
The drones, that's what I meant. Not automatons, but the drones. They use those vessels to fight light years across the galaxy. And these are the sort of weapons we're seeing develop now. Not that we're going to reach across the galaxy, but you can compare it to a drone pilot. They launch from Nevada and reach all the way over there to the other side of the world and drop bombs, you know?
And I was trying to think, there was a headline, I believe, a few months ago, and you may remember that. I think it was in, the BBC or maybe even the Guardian, talking about the Cal, I believe it was a professor from Cal State warning about that very thing, about how some madman could buy, actually, I mean, if he had the money, he could actually buy a fleet of drones that would actually destroy whole cities.
Yep. Uh-huh. And the tech is getting very advanced now. And one thing that people don't know, or I suppose, well, they should know, but many people just don't look at the news. And, you know, President Obama at his time said he's pretty good at killing people. And he was referring to drones. So, you know.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah, look that up. You'll find it. You'll find it very quickly. But, so as we can see with these comic book and the comic book movies, there is definitely something there that hinges on blaspheming God. A good reference would be Batman versus Superman. And, you know, Lex Luthor, his character is based off of Aleister Crowley. The evidence for this is presented in Our Gods Wear Spandex by Christopher Knowles. He's not a Christian. He's a Buddhist. But he lays it out why. And in Batman versus Superman, Lex Luthor was continually blaspheming God. But at the same time, they acted like Superman was a figure of Yahweh.
Yes, I've heard an interview with that writer, and I heard him asserting that very same thing.
Yeah, it's very incredible. And it's the same thing in X-Men Apocalypse, where Apocalypse, who was based off of, he was basically a orphan that was had blue skin, and Bale, at the time, Bale took him in. And Bale, of course, is an old god, so-called, a demon, fallen angel, whichever.
Son God, yes.
Yeah, and he took him in and raised him, and he became the most powerful mutant ever. But in the movie, the director related him to God.
And, of course, you mentioned X-Men. Of course, there is evolution right there in her face, as well as these mutant teenagers are enlisted, you know, to maybe not necessarily help humanity, but I guess in a lot of ways they were just fending for themselves and against the power of Magneto and the other evil mutants.
Right. And you know, you see Magneto is always this guy that he seems like he could be good, but then he does all these wicked things, and it's always a back and forth with him and Professor X.
Yes, exactly.
And at the same time, it's like you said, it's all based on evolution, because these X-Men are not men, not human. They have transcended. They have reached their evolutionary potential. This is all a part of Hinduism and witchcraft, and you name it, it's all a part of that. And that's why the lie of evolution is so dangerous, because it could bring you into all sorts of ungodly belief systems.
And there again, these things are so common among these stories. You have the Phoenix. Of course, she became Jean Grey. She started out as Marvel Girl. She became the Phoenix, and she fed off of planets and different worlds and galaxies to increase her power. But as she did this, she had to grapple with a dark side. There's that force coming in.
Right.
You can increase in that force, but yet there's that dark power that's going to pull on you too.
Yeah. Yeah, the yin and the yang, and the fusion of opposites, the force, the Tao, the Chi. I keep mentioning this because I want people to get it. This is everywhere. But before we keep going, Rory's on the line. Hey, what's up, Rory?
Good evening, everyone.
All right.
Sorry to be joining you a little late.
Good to have you. Let's continue. Do you have anything to add before we keep going, Rory?
No, I'm just listening. Continue.
All right. Okay, Kev.
Okay, we left on the Force and the X-Men. Were we through with Guardians, or did you want to?
I mean, if you have more, be my guest.
You know, just going back to that Genesis 6 aspect there, the hybrid, the half-man, half-god, became the savior of his family there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you'll see this theme all over the place. We know in mythology we have Hercules, we have Perseus, of course, Wonder Woman. You'll see this theme going all through sci-fi and the comic books.
And that goes back to the mutants as and the X-Men as well, as far as being mutants. They are hybrid as well, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. As they're much of Marvel's characters. I mean, if you look at down through the, I guess, just looking at the list, long list of Marvel's characters, a lot of them are very that. They're hybrids, you know, whether it be by radiation as the Hulk and Spider-Man. And then also in the Guardians, and that brings up, too, the transhumanism. We have Nebula, where Thanos was just constantly trying to improve her, trying to make her something better. And, of course, you have the cybernetically enhanced raccoon.
Yes.
Rocket.
Yes.
I know, we saw the sex bots. We see transhumanism. We see so many of these themes in that movie. And I guess that is the one I rewatched recently. It's on my mind. But also even noticed there's even a slight mention of digital currency there. When they're talking about the bounty there in that one place, and they're beginning to argue. When they're talking about the bounty, they're making references to units. And, of course, what do we have? Cryptos. They're broken down into units.
Yeah, and this world is swiftly becoming cashless. We're not there quite yet, but it's right around the corner. We just seen Switzerland is almost there, like 99% now, something like that, some crazy number.
Yeah, the push for a cashless society, it's going greater in the name of convenience. Of course, who doesn't get frustrated, you know, get in line and maybe some of their account change or something? I mean, there is a definite convenience with going cashless, but there's also that element of control. Once we're completely cashless, the control will be there. Then someone can step in and say, you can no longer buy or sell unless you have a mark.
Right. And people, please just listen to this message and realize that this is going on in your world right now. I mean, how many of you actually use a lot of cash anymore? You know, we're swiping cards all the time. Some people use cash still. Yes, that is true. But for the most part, we're getting used to not using cash. And this is throughout sci-fi again and the comic books. So, like I said, there is a message. Whether it's good or bad, there is always a message.
It's just part of the program. We're being pushed in that direction. And it's the incremental push as far as the old story of, you know, you put the frog in the pot of boiling water, he jumps out.
Yeah.
So you put him in the pot, and you just gradually turn it up, and you have frog soup. And that's exactly where we've been for many years now. But it seemed the pressure and the push just keeps getting more and more with each passing year.
Yeah.
I agree totally, because, you know, we are becoming more and more, like you said, used to using the our card. You have iPay or you have another Android Pay or whatever you call them. But these things are put in place so that, you know, we are being conditioned that way. And we're being conditioned in such a way, it is so subtle that people don't even know. They don't even see it. Your bank account, you don't have cash in it. You have some numbers on a screen. And you can do the same on your phone. You can check on your phone. And you know what? The money just gets deducted out of your account. You know, but if we were all to go to the bank today and withdraw all the money we had, there would be, the bank won't have enough money to give us. So, you know, this moving towards a cashless society, this is exactly what the Bible talked about. And we are heading there a lot faster than we know. We just learned recently, Chris, and you'll remember this, mm-hmm. that we're going to be doing away with passwords in 24 months.
Right.
Passwords are obsolete. So this is all tying all of these things in together, and they're using whatever means they can, via the movies and all the other things that are going on, to get us conditioned for what's coming.
Right. And the strange thing is, like, all of these directors and film producers and, you know, writers aren't all connected necessarily, right? It's just that they've been introduced to these ideas before. Some of them are actually going along with the agenda, of course, not going to rule that out. But because we've been trained in so many things from the past, we regurgitate them. Regurgitate the same ideas, the sex bots, food replication, transferal of consciousness, going through portals, you name it. It's been there the whole time. And so, you know, it's just like there's a Pied Piper, a silent Pied Piper, like the, you know, we're hearing the silent whistle of a dog on a frequency like that. And we don't know, and we keep going along with it. Spiritually dead. Go ahead.
Right. Well, and you got the right word there. There's a spiritual aspect to it, where yes, you and I and Roy here we're talking. I mean, we feel a connection. You know, we believe have a lot of the same belief. I mean, I talked to you the other day. Well, we talked over an hour on the telephone, and I was like, man, here's a guy from Jamaica. Here's a hillbilly from Tennessee, and you know, I felt like, well, I mean, we could have talked all day. We just had this great connection.
Yeah,
you know, in a time when the world or society is trying to divide folks, although, you know, yep, they're trying to divide us, you know, along whatever lines, gender lines, we discussed that, racial lines, where me and him just had this great conversation, and we just had this sort of a spiritual bond.
Yeah.
And that's what Satan wants to divide everybody.
Exactly.
But it's a spiritual act. Go ahead.
You know, you're so right. And I was in Tennessee probably about 4 weeks ago. We didn't know where we were going. We were in Butler, Tennessee. And the Lord just happened to us to meet a pastor who lived in the Middle East for many years. And what a blessing it was. And you're right. This world, one of the things they're trying to do right now, very subtly, is try to divide people and say that you're so different, the different lines that are being drawn for us. No, they're not. At least we know that we honor the Lord God. We want to honor God. That's why we are here tonight talking about these things. And we're just waving the banner of Jesus Christ saying, hey, people, wake up, wake up. These things are coming. Look, we are the watchmen on the wall, crying out, warning the people, saying, you know, it's time to get right with God. It's time to get right. Don't fall for this nonsense that you see that are doing. So there are people. God has his people throughout the land, wherever it is. They could be in the hood, or we could be up in the mountains. But God has his remnant that he's saying, you know what? All you got to do is keep my word. Study the word to show yourself approved. And, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all shall be added unto you. And that's what we're here about.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Just love you, my brother.
Going back to what you mentioned, though, you used to talk about the directors and the writers. Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual aspect on them, where the world is trying to split the church apart. Satan is trying to bring all these ideas and everyone together in that same, I guess you could say, what he's trying to bring them in is against God. And the ultimate fulfillment will be in Revelation 19:19, when he brings all the armies of the earth there, yes, to Armageddon to battle Jesus Christ.
Right. And, you know, that you mentioned that when you mentioned how Galactus is a figure of God, and look at Thanos. Thanos is actually a real name of a deity from back in the day, right? But they're all seeming like godlike creatures, even Darkseid, right? And when they come, who saved them? Who saved the world? The Justice League, the Avengers, whoever it is at the time that you're going to put up there to save the world. It's always something to deal with man, or some sort of demigod, or some sort of fallen angel figure that's going to save man. When in the meantime, in reality, they want to destroy your soul. They want to take you to hell, where that place was made for Satan and his angels.
And once again, back to Gnosticism, carrying on what you just said. if you can convince the populace of this world that God, Jesus Christ, is their enemy,
mm-hmm.
then they will go against him, and that goes all against that.
Yeah, and that's the theme now. The ramping up of the blasphemy and straight occult teachings and everything that they blatantly talk about Jesus like he's nothing. And, you know, it's like some people just can't see it. You know, they mention his name, or they mention something about him, or they denigrate his position.
And he is the creator of the universe. And yeah. Then it says, as one day we will all bow before him and declare him to be the Lord of all.
Yeah. And so I want to segue into, unless Rory, you got something to say before I go in?
No, sir.
I want to segue into the Justice League. You didn't get a chance to see Justice League, right?
No, I'm more of a Marvel guy. So because actually, DC just seems a lot darker to me.
It is. It
especially
is.
With the recent movies.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Not all of it, but it's there. It's dark. You know, we want to look at some of the characteristics here of some of the characters. We have Flash, who is more like Mercury or the god of elements or alchemy, right? And then you have Wonder Woman, who is this demigod, which also the symbol on her chest relates to the phoenix. And you got a star on her forehead, which relates to Ishtar, right? And so her father is supposed to be Zeus, right? And there's more to talk about with her, with, you know, abortion and all this other stuff. But then we have Aquaman, who is another demigod, and he's a prince of the sea, which relates to Atlantis and some of the other Titans or whatever, right? Then you have Batman, who is basically a rich human, but he more embodied the spirit of vengeance, right? And then you have Cyborg. Cyborg is the more intriguing one, the lesser known godlike being who is akin to transhumanism. He is half man, half machine. This reality is coming to play in our world rapidly, right? And in the movie now, I'm not sure about his origins, but in the movie, he was created by the mother boxes. Now, the mother boxes are these interdimensional devices that helped Darkseid and his family to travel the universe. And they have the parademons, which were basically humans or whatever humanoid before they turned into the parademons. They transformed. And further on, when you see the villain of the movie now, he gets all of the mother boxes and he gets him to the place where he's resting in some sort of nuclear place, and then he starts to kind of worship them like a trinity. It's three of them, and they have to come together, and he's worshiping them, and then they start to transform our world into his. But before I finish, I'm going to let you guys go. The biggest crux of this movie is what we talked about early in the show, the resurrection of Superman and Clark Kent. Go ahead, guys.
Well, just speaking to the Cyborg while you're there, like I said, I'm more familiar with Marvel comics, but in the Cyborg, what I always find interesting, whether it's Arnold Schwarzenegger as the Terminator,
yep,
or even the Bionic Man with Steve Austin there,
yeah,
in the 70s,
yep.
I want you to notice one thing. They always have an eye missing, have that bionic eye.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they always have a robotic arm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go over in the book of Zechariah, when it talks about the Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
it talks about him having one of his eyes put out and mm-hmm. one of his arms withered away.
There you go.
Wow.
Many people will miss that because they don't know the word, or they've never really looked at that before, never heard it before. But I'm glad you brought that out. And it's weird. I know a lot of people out there, you love Passion of the Christ. I like the movie too, but it was a Catholic doctrine movie, and Jesus was missing the same eye that's there in the Bible.
Oh, man, I did not know that.
Oh, there we go.
I honestly never saw the movie. I was standing in line to see it, and then there were so many people I didn't go at the time. I mean, there was just a huge line, and I never got back there, and then And this is where I just came from. And I'd heard, you know, the criticism, but I didn't want something in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have in my mind a picture of what happened on the cross. Now, I believe there were things that were, we can't even comprehend. I believe,
right.
You know, Psalm 22, I believe there were some demonic things going on there as far as, you know, he talks about the bulls of Bashan gaping upon me with their mouth over there in Psalm 22, which I believe is a prophecy of the cross. Mm-hmm. I believe there were demons that were even biting on him there on the cross. I mean, he suffered our penalty of hell there on that cross. You know, mm-hmm. he talks about thirst.
Amen.
And I didn't want to put something in my mind, you know, see something on the screen where I would see him suffering, which might take away from what I have, the picture I have.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they're implanting their vision into your mind. But before you go, Rory, let me just say one point. Now, it's not that Jesus was missing an eye. It's they beat him up so much that his eye was closed, but it's symbolic to what he's talking about here in the Bible. And another thing, in Thor Ragnarok, guess who loses the eye? The same, I think it's the left eye, right? Am I correct?
I am not sure.
Kevin?
I believe it mentions the right eye in the scripture, but
on the right eye. Okay, which one of them? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's also missing the eye too. And I was like, okay, there goes that symbology again.
Well, you know, one of the things you talk about the eye, and he went back as soon as he started talking. What registered in my heart was the $6 million man, and I'm like, you know what? This thing has been going on from when I was a kid. This transhumanism movement, it's been planted in our subconscious for a very long time. And as things advance, men have been putting these things, they're updating it. They're giving you a better view of it. And it's the same thing with, you said, I can't even remember, Cyborg. Cyborg has one eye that's missing, or whatever. He has an electronic eye now that he's supposed to be able to see better. And then you have in the same animal that we have in this movie, Guardians of the Galaxy. Doesn't he have an eye that's been updated? He's been manipulated and gone through all sorts of different things that he also has this keen vision, I think. Am I correct?
You're talking about Rocket?
Yes.
No, Rocket isn't missing an eye, but he's definitely a...
Nebula that had the eyepiece there.
Okay.
Yeah, both of them have been genetically modified.
Yeah, you're correct saying that, yes.
Yeah, but one thing more I want to point out about Cyborg is no one notices this. I think no one notices it, but his third eye is open. Yes. Look at his forehead. Look at his forehead.
Mm-hmm.
His third eye is open through the tech. And now he can interface with anything.
Yes.
Anything.
That's right.
Gnosticism.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then that's a perfect segue into Doctor Strange if you want to go.
Yes, next. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Oh, my goodness.
Doctor Strange, of course, with the Ancient One. She puts her hand on his forehead, opens his eye, and of course he's sent through this multiverse, if you will, all these different dimensions. His mind is opened up. His mind is opened up to the astral plane there.
Mm-hmm.
In that segment.
Yeah,
and that comes straight out of the comics, out of Steve Ditko's art. Steve Ditko, of course, he was heavily influenced by Eastern mysticism, and that was prevalent in the comics in the 1960s.
Mm, look at that. And yeah, you know what? That's a good timeline to point out, because at that time you had the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, you had the Beatles, you had, you know, all these things coming about at that point in time. There's a sexual revolution and yoga. All of these things were coming into our consciousness here in the West. And
right. There
you have it. You know, it's in the comic books too. The kids are reading it. Who knows who was influenced by this and then went into that lifestyle? And people out there, please don't think that this cannot affect you. Everything you get that's a message affects you. Everything, whether it's good or bad. Go ahead.
And right. And when I was a kid, of course, I mean, I didn't like the Doctor Strange comics. I mean, but this has popularized him, and it's popularizing that. Of course, you have him, Stephen Strange, this world renowned surgeon. He's hurt in his car accident. And this is one movie that's pretty true to the original comics, I must say. Because I do have the origin issue, a reprint of the origin issue of Doctor Strange.
Okay.
And, of course, his hand's destroyed. Here we again. This man, he's come to the end of himself,
mm-hmm.
and he has to go to the Eastern mysticism to actually find himself.
Yeah.
And there she opens up his eye, and he becomes, once again, a hero.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not sure which hand he was missing, but in some of these concepts, you know, you'll see either the right hand or left hand, but there's something in the occult called the left hand path. And that's also a symbolism used in some of these comic books. Go ahead.
Right. And then, of course, I mean, we've seen astral projection there in that movie presented to us as a superpower. And I wonder how many young minds will be influenced by that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even me, as even being a Christian, you know, and hearing even things, I mean, there are some that would even, you know, I've seen instructions on YouTube of how to go into the astral plane through prayer.
Right.
Where, you know, and don't get me wrong, there are times, you know, we see in the scriptures that where men were moved from place to place by God at different points.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not by their choosing. And
yeah,
that's
exactly.
And once again, we find it's being presented as a power to men. And I believe that's something dangerous. I believe that's where you can come, once again, into contact with demonic entities, and you're opening yourself up.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Scripture, it was done by the Holy Spirit. You're talking about with the Ethiopian eunuch when they met and they had to be baptized. You know, yes, it can be done in Scripture. But outside of that, remember, and it's not the source doesn't come from us. It has nothing to do with us. It's from God. God himself, he is the one that had wanted that man to be saved as he was on his way back to Africa. That's what happened in that particular sense. And we see that, yes, the Holy Spirit is able to move us to will us to do what God has what God wants for us to do, as long as you are a believer. But for you to have that power yourself, or you to control or wield that power, that is satanic.
Exactly.
Right.
You know.
And I want to I just want to go back 1 second and explain to people what I'm talking about here. I'm reading here. It says in Western esotericism, the left-hand path and right-hand path are the dichotomy between two opposing approaches to magic. This terminology is used in various groups involved in the occult and ceremonial magic. In some definitions, the left-hand path is equated to malicious black magic and the right-hand path with benevolent white magic. Other occultists have criticized this definition, believing that the left-hand dichotomy refers to merely to different kinds of working and does not necessarily connote good or bad magical actions. But this is the yin and the yang, okay?
Right.
That's all it is. The yin and the yang, the force, and all these things that we keep bringing up. And then back into this astral projection, this is what's used in the new Star Wars movie. This is what Luke used to project himself halfway across the galaxy to fight Kylo Ren. We mentioned this in our review. And how many kids thought that was cool? He did it, and... Yeah, go ahead. And he became an ascended master, by the way, but go ahead.
Well, that even goes back. I mean, when Obi-Wan, I mean, in the very first Star Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi, it was almost like he actually allowed himself to be killed by Darth Vader in that scene so that he could open himself up, you know, free his consciousness.
Yes.
And then he would appear and talk to Luke.
Yeah. And so did Qui-Gon Jinn from the prequels, Obi-Wan's teacher.
Yes.
You know, I just can't say it enough. You know, here's what's really alarming, that parents allow their children to sit and take all this in, you know, and take this in, and this goes into their subconscious. And, you know, you know, after a while, this is what's going to come out. You know, when the heart becomes full, the mouth speaks. When the heart becomes full, you see people going and doing things, and they don't even know where it's coming from. But these seeds were planted very young. And, you know, what I'm saying is that we are standing here tonight, or we're talking tonight just by God's grace. That's the reason why we are here, just by God's grace. And people have to know, you gotta open yourselves up to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save your soul from hell. That's mm-hmm. it. But when you look and you see, you know, you guys are talking about Star Wars, and I go back to that, the last scene in that movie, and what was done there, and you're seeing a human being on a like a God level, where he's mm-hmm. taking on all these machines, all these different things, and he can't be destroyed. And this is the thing that they're pushing, this, you know, humanity rising to this occasion, like just like it says in scripture, where I can't remember where it is, where it says, I will be like the Most High. I will, you know, I will ascend.
Isaiah 14.
Ascend to nothing. We are like filthy rags in his sight. God is the one who created us. And you know what? Like my brother said before, here's the thing. It's appointed unto man once to live. And after that, we're going to die. And after that, there's going to be the judgment. We are going to have to stand before a holy God and explain what we did in these bodies for the time we had.
Yes, indeed.
And you don't know, you've not heard our conversation, Roy, but you've been right on, right. You just fell right in what we've been discussing as far as the Gnosticism and all these, everything just coming to the fact that it's pointing to man's being his own savior.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. And, you know, we could spend 2 years every day for 24 hours talking about comic books, and we'll still never hit the bottom. That's how deep this stuff goes. It's really saturated. Did you have anything else to share about Jack Kirby?
No, I think we hit it all pretty much as far as, you know, his Gnostic belief. The one on the Devil Dinosaur, that was the one that really floored me.
Yeah.
The Gnosticism in there.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm gonna go check that out too, just to see what's there, and just to commit that one to memory, because that was very disturbing right there. But you know,
I can give you the issues 6, 7, and I believe it's 5, 6, and 7 are the issues.
Okay, all right. So as we see, there's more comic book movies coming out. Black Panther is going to come out soon. Me and Kevin will try to do something, review on that one. We got Avengers Infinity War coming out, and some Spider-Man movie coming out. I think it's an animated series or something, or animated movie. Yeah. And so, you know, again, this is not going to go anywhere. This is the most popular genre right now. It makes billions of dollars, if not billions. You know, the movies are reaching at least 500 million minimum, you know. So they're all a hit, even the bad ones, because people. Go ahead.
Oh, not to mention, I mean, you have the movies, you have the toys, you have the spinoff cartoon shows, and then you even have the fact that you're even getting young people back into comics.
Yes, yes, yes. Because comic books were on a decline.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's an untold amount of money being made.
Mm-hmm. And you want to, you know, listeners out there, you might want to look up Joanna Michelson. She had a book out about this stuff, He-Man, and all the stuff she was, because she was into the occult. And then she came out, and then she was exposing some stuff about the comic books and the cartoons and stuff back in the 80s. And same conversation we're having right now. Even Scooby-Doo. There was stuff all in those comics and TV shows that were just latent, and some of them were actually very blatant. When they had Vincent Price on Scooby-Doo, it was very blatant. So anyway, this is a good conversation, and I think we need to keep the conversation going, because this is a relevant topic of our time, and I think God has raised up you know, people like us to talk about it, because this conversation wasn't being had before. And in this time of electronics and internet and everything, the information gets thrown around faster, whether it's good or bad. And now we get to learn, get to dig deep and see, oh, wow, I don't know about this one right here. You know, I mean, look, I as a kid grew up watching the Super Friends and all these shows that we're used to. I would never, ever would have thought that any of this stuff was like this bad. Really? I don't know if you guys feel the same.
I was introduced. One of the worst ones I ever saw was the Defender series, which the TV series on Netflix is nothing like the Defender comics.
Mm.
But I actually I was a big Hulk fan, and Hulk was a member, and the Submariner, Namor, he was sort of, I guess, Marvel's version of Aquaman. And, of course, Doctor Strange, that brought in the occult. But in the issue, around issue 99, 98, 100, they actually went to hell and battled Satan. I mean, it was just... Yes. And Satan actually came up on the earth trying to... take over the earth. I mean, and that was in the early 80s.
Yeah.
Of course, I threw those comic books away. Like I said, and that goes back to what I said before Roy joined us. Our generation was confronted with some of this, maybe not so blatant and in your face as it is now, but we had a biblical foundation.
Yes.
Where a lot of today's young people do not.
Yeah. And yes. I went to school one day with a comic book in my hand, and I was perplexed by the demonic imagery, and I asked my teacher. I said, "You know, I didn't know I wasn't a Christian. I don't know if he was a Christian or not. I think God just led me to show him." It was my art teacher, and he said he looked at it. He looked at me, and he looked at it. And he said, "No, this is totally demonic. You need to get rid of this." And there, it's like that stuck with me. That stuck with me, and from there on, a lot of the things that look like that, I would try my best to stay away from. You know, so
Marvel actually had a character called Son of Satan, and he was actually Satan's son, and he had a pentagram drawn on his chest, but he was sort of rebelling against Satan, his father, and he was a hybrid, and once again, he would say yin and yang thing going on again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Go ahead, Roy.
But you know, one of the things, you know, you said something about all the different ways or the different influences that are out there today versus where I think I'm in my early 50s, late 40s, early 50s, about there, you know. And when
I'm
we
getting
look
there quick.
At,
I said I'm getting there quick.
Oh, okay. And when we look at what was going on when we were growing up in our teens, you will notice that at least, like you said, we had that biblical foundation. Today, these kids are being bombarded with so many things. If you like, for instance, you're able to read a comic or you see a comic, we would have to imagine in our minds something. Now, today, you can sit in a theater and it unfolds before you. The same story is being told, and it's done with such that the imagery is so powerful and so real. Hulk was something that we could, we had the closest thing we had was when the Hulk series came on TV, but that was nothing compared to the comics. But today, you're like, whoa, you're seeing the rage. You're seeing the not being able to control oneself. You're seeing all of these stuff that's raw.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, we're dealing with so many things based off of what Hollywood has done or the impact that they have had. And no one is saying, is this creating harm? Is this evil? Is this the reason why we have kids that are coming up this way? And these men also that went to these mystics, these gurus in the 50s and 60s, like the Beatles did and some of the others, and they taught them all these things and came back and just poured it all out on the populace. And today, look at what we're dealing with.
Yeah. Any of you guys ever watch Agents Shield?
No, I never.
Okay, well, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's a Marvel show, and it's on CBS, owned by Disney, and there's a character in there called Quake, right? And in this season, they go to the future, right? And when you get to the future, the Kree, an alien race, is in control and enslaved the rest of mankind in this sort of slave facility, right? Inside of a meteor, or what a remnant of part of what Earth was, because Earth got destroyed. 3/4 of Earth got destroyed by Quake. And they keep calling her the destroyer of worlds. Every episode, she's the destroyer of worlds. Destroyer of worlds. That is the Hindu goddess or god, Shiva. And so she's embodied in this character here, where she could just make earthquakes and small and big ones or whatever. So the symbolism is always there, but if you don't know the religious background and all these things, you'll never figure it. Just like in Stranger Things, the young Indian girl in there that's related to Eleven, she has the Hindu god Kali character right behind her. And when she walks down the steps, and she's also equated to that, but all she really does is controls people's minds. She changes their reality inside of their mind. So they say, she makes them see what she wants them to see, but she's still equated to that Hindu god.
Okay, Chris, mm-hmm. I just remembered something. And what you brought up was, did you guys talk about the witch that's in the Avengers? What's her name?
Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch.
Yes. Did you guys talk about that?
No, but we can, because her background is dark.
Oh, my goodness. Now, that is total demonic. Controlling somebody's mind, just like what you were saying about these other characters, and I don't know them in great detail, and I'll be the first to tell you. But when I saw this movie and what they're putting out there, with this, and I'm like, that's a witch. And she's doing her incantations over people. And you know, if you go in the book of Acts, and you there was a time when the disciples went, and I can't remember, I think his name was Bar Jesus, and they went into this community, and when they went into this community, these people were totally bewitched. They could not do anything, because either there was a young lady there that had the power. And she was calling out and saying, "Now this is the you always, when you encounter those some of these spirits, there's always one that's going to tell you the truth. These men are men of God. These men are men of God. Mm-hmm. You know." And they went around, and I think it was with Peter, and he had to rebuke it after like 2 or 3 days, because that's all she kept on doing. It was the truth she was speaking, but it was a spirit from the enemy.
Yeah.
And you know what? We have learned now, look, total witchcraft has now come in. Now, it's normally covert, but now in these things that I've seen, it's just blatant. And people are buying these things and saying, wow, this is, you know, the memorabilia and all that. They're saying this is great, but it's not.
Right, yeah. And not now, on the Avengers now, there are one... There's a witch, there's a warlock, and there's a so-called god that uses a magic hammer or a hammer infused with magic. So...
An enchanted hammer.
Yeah.
Right, an enchanted... Right.
There's an Iron Man, a super soldier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have the demon-possessed Bruce Banner. So...
His DNA has been altered.
Then you have...
The Iron Man... The augmentation of humanity, man and machine.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you have the one with the cosmic stone in his forehead, the AI. What's his name again?
The Vision Android.
The Vision, yes. Right. And now, check this out. Remember, you weren't there for the show, Kevin, so I'm saying remember, but I know that you didn't hear it. But in our review for Blade Runner, we saw that that story is really about either a human having sex with a machine and having a baby, or two AI having a baby, right? Now...
Well, get this. While you're still there.
The Vision in the comics marries the Scarlet Witch.
Exactly where I was going. That's exactly where I was going. So, and they're already alluding to that, that chemistry in the movies. They're already alluding to it. So, and then that brings us back to reality now. What's coming up in reality? Having virtual sex with AI or physical sex with a robot or a robot infused with AI. Either way you go, it's the same concept. And this has been in these comic books for a long time. And trust me, Scarlet Witch is not as innocent as you think. Look up her origins and read it. It's very, very dark. Especially when you see who her mother is and who her father is. And very, very dark. So, yeah, go ahead. Any more?
No, I'm good.
I think I'm going to have to drop off myself.
All right. Okay, yeah. So everybody out there, we just dropped a lot of information on you. And you can go back to our first show about the superheroes exposed. And then blend it with this one, and you'll see that there's a lot of information there for you to, you know, seek out and talk to your kids about, or your teenagers, or even yourself and your spouse, or, you know, or people that just don't know. And, you know, again, this is all going back to who Jesus Christ is, why he came. And I know this is a weird subject to blend with our salvation, but this is a part of the world system. This is a part of Babylon. And this stuff that is being taught in this genre is what's going to be engulfing the planet in the Great Tribulation. They will not stop from worshiping their demons, their idols that can't see, hear, talk, or walk. You know, this is while the wrath of God is being poured out on the planet. They will not turn from it. And this is all going back to that. So, you know, for those of you that are listening and aren't saved, I plead with you just to, you know, cry out to God. You know, he came and Jesus Christ, not just God, the title, Jesus Christ came from glory to die for your sins on the cross. And he resurrected on the third day. That is your salvation. Put your hope in his righteousness. It's the only way. There's not many ways. That's what the world teaches. The Bible teaches there's one way, and that's Amen. It. Any last words, guys?
Well, I'm going to ask Kevin to close out tonight. So let me just say this, and then Kevin, you can just take it home and close out. You know, folks, Chris, what he says is true. God is the resurrection and the life. You know, if you go into 1 John, you know, and when the disciples were given their disciples were given their testimony, basically they said, you know, what we are writing to you about, 1 John 1:1, is what we are writing to you about is what we have seen with our eyes, what we have touched, what we have handled. This is real. Christ is the resurrection. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I just want to encourage you to listen. Turn the TV off. Turn the movies off. Only way you can be saved is through Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Kevin.
Amen. And I would just like to say it's been an honor to talk to you two gentlemen, and I thank the Lord for bringing me together with two like-minded believers, and hope we can, you know, maybe work together in the future. But what Chris said is just, I mean, it's just totally on point tonight. You know, we've talked about comic books. We've talked about evil influences into the world. We've talked about this congruence of these things bringing man to a final point against God. But if we miss the point that tonight, anybody are out there listening, or when in listening in the future, you know, if God has knocked on your heart during this time while we have been talking about this, and you feel the slightest, inclination of your heart leaning toward God, I would go that way. I would pray to him and ask him to save me today, because this old world is getting darker and darker, and I would hate to be lost in a time like today. And, you know, I've been saved, you know, I guess about 20 years now, and I just thank the Lord for that. But you think the young people coming up today that have no hope, I mean, I'm thinking tonight there may be somebody listening that's never even heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And maybe they just, you know, they were interested in superheroes and this catches their eye on YouTube and they listen to it. And maybe, I mean, if one person could get free from the power of the enemy by this show, it would be worth it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, there we have it, people. And, you know, Kevin will be back to talk about Black Panther. And he'll also be back to talk about AI and UFOs. That's going to be an interesting show. So I ask you to stay tuned and share this video, like, subscribe if you haven't yet. And, you know, again, if God is tugging on your heart, turn to him now. And if you're already a Christian, don't forget to reach the lost and don't let them burn. If you like our videos, don't forget to hit the subscribe button and the notification bell to get all our frequent updates.